like to welcome you tonight to Winning Wednesday, and we are so glad that you're here with us tonight. We have Josh and Beth with Garland and myself. Last night I was in on here by myself and shared a word, and tonight I feel really empowered because I got all of them here with me. And so we're going to have a great time as we share and we talk about the Lord, talk about the word, break it down. We had somebody who was in the service last night, and they were sharing with us. They said of the one of the most amazing things that I love about coming to this church is because you break the word down and you make it easy to be understood. And that's what our desire is we don't want you to read the word and learn the word just because, you know, that's what is expected of a believer, but we want you to learn the word so that it can enrich your life. You know, my husband's been talking a lot about revelation. We want you to learn the word and get revelation in your spirit so that it's going to enable you to grow in your walk with the Lord. And so I'm going to just let them take over, and I had my night last night, and I shared last night, and I might jump in on the conversation a little bit, but we want to tell you that this is the third day of our corporate fast. We're super excited about that, and you know, we found that already that there are so many people that are needing miracles, but yeah, just about an hour ago, we got a testimony from one of the members in our church who went in for a procedure today. And the doctors had anticipated and told them that there were nodules, and the nodules are not there. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. We serve an on-time God, and this he's wanting to deliver breakthrough for each of us. Next Tuesday and Wednesday nights, we've titled those special services Breakthrough Nights. And if you are able to join us in person, we'd love to have you join us. And we're going to be believing for in prayer and through the declaration and prophetic word. We're believing for miracles. We're believing for breakthroughs of every kind, relational, emotional, physical, financial, God, to break addictions off people's lives and set them free. And so if you can't come, it's okay, because we're going to be coming to you live. So Tuesday night, we'll be at our campus in New Orleans, coming live from there. Wednesday night, we'll be at our campus in Gonzales, Louisiana, coming live from there. Pastor, you have something to share tonight.
Yeah, you know, Bev, in the fast we have done in the past, we've had several great testimonies. I'm expecting some great things to take place in this fast.
Amen.
And I remember one story of a lady. She came in, and her kidneys were operating at 30%, and 70% it wasn't functioning. And midway through the fast, she noticed a vast difference, and she went to the doctors, had another test run, and the kidneys began to operate at 70%, and she was still believing for the 30% to get full 100%.
Amen.
So it was a reverse. It was a reverse that took place in that moment. You know, fasting does some tremendous things for you. Not only does it do for you spiritually, because in a fast, we're denying ourselves from certain things in order to have a deeper relationship with God, and for a transformation to take place in our soul and in our life. But there's also benefits in fasting that brings miracles. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. If there are habits that you have had that have been hard for you to break, hard for you to get over, fasting brings the breakthrough in our lives.
Amen.
And so I encourage you that if you would join with us, we've got, 17, 18 more days left. And if you join with us, now you're saying, what do I need to fast from? Well, you determine what you need to fast from. There's some people that, because of medical conditions, they can't fast from food because of the medication or whatever it might be. So you determine. There's some people that are fast from their social media. Some people are fast from television. Some people are fast from the news. Boy, that would be a good thing to fast from right there, because anytime you turn on that news channel, fear is invoked in people's lives. And so you determine what you need to fast from and what you can do. And watch and see what God will do in your life.
Amen.
You know, I missed last night. And I looked at some of the program on the rerun. What a great message that was.
Thank you.
tremendous. Yes. And tonight, I'm just going to talk just a little bit, and then I'm going to go to Josh and to Bethany, and we're going to talk about a little bit of the services that were happening last Sunday. Y'all, Bev and I were in some classes, and we wasn't able to attend. Our classes were Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and so y'all filled in for us, and Bethany said that if anybody wants a word, we're going to prophesy to you after the service, and there were some great things that came forth from that. But right before we go into talking about that, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, and I want to talk to you about Revelation. Not the book of Revelations, but just Revelation. Something that suddenly happens in your life that now you're able to see something you could not see before. Revelation is something that sparks motion in your life. It begins to illuminate things that were hidden before. And so Revelation, when it comes to us, we are able to see in a whole different area. I wrote something down here. Without revelation, there is no illumination.
That's good.
Illumination is understanding. So without revelation, there's no understanding. When you go into the Old Testament in the book of Samuel, you begin to find that Eli was the priest in that time, and Samuel was a little boy in the temple. His mother went and she declared to the Lord, if you'll give me a child, I'll dedicate him to you. I'll give him to you all the days of his life. And when he was born, once he was weaned, she brought him to the temple and gave him to the Lord. And literally, he was raised in the temple. And you know the story about Samuel. Samuel comes to Eli one night and said, did you call me? And Eli says, no, going back to bed, boy. And after the third time, Eli, being the priest there, and he has this young boy that's in training for being a priest, finally dawns on him that God could be speaking to this boy. And he says to Samuel, he says, the next time that you hear that, say this, here I am, speak to me, Lord. Now, that moment was a moment of revelation for Samuel. He didn't know what he was hearing. He didn't know what he was encountering. But when it was explained to him, the illumination or the understanding came to him, and he was able to respond to that was trying to change him, trying to come upon him. So without revelation, there's no understanding. And without understanding, there's no inspiration. I find that many people today are not inspired in their life. And I come to the conclusion that the reason that they're not inspired is there's no new revelation in their life. I find that many people as believers are wanting to go back to previous moves of God that has taken place in the past. Now, I read books on Smith Wigglesworth and John G. Lake. I've got videos of A.A. Allen. I read stuff about William Branham. All these different men and women of God, Catherine Kuhlman, and these different ones. I read stories about them, and I get inspiration from that. But I don't want to go back to that, because that was for the time and the season that it was manifesting itself. What we need is new revelation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We need new understanding. And amen. When there's new revelation and new understanding, there is an inspiration that begins to come out of us that causes us to move. I find that people stay in a stagnant place for a long period of time because they're not pushing for new revelation. They're not looking for. And I believe this, that what you see depends on what you're looking for. What you see depends on what you're looking for. And if you're looking for something in the past, you're going to find something in the past. If you're looking for inspiration out of your own being, then you'll find inspiration out of your own being.
Amen.
If you're looking for heavenly inspiration, then you need to start looking for revelation. Revelation comes and brings understanding. Understanding comes and brings enthusiasm or brings inspiration. I find that many believers are not inspired because there's not much revelation. The Bible says to us that we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. Now, when we're looking, what are we looking for? What are we seeking for? So if you're seeking for the kingdom of God, you're going to find the kingdom of God. In Hebrews, I'm going to go there, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, let's look at this here just for a moment. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. It talks about in John. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus has always been there. The Word has always been there. We have the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But until the Word become flesh, people were not able to touch Him. So Jesus, being the Word, had to come and become flesh so that the woman with the issue of blood could reach out and touch the hem of his garment and be made whole. Now the revelation came, but the understanding came when she touched him. Anytime that there's revelation, it demands action. Action now brings us into a place where we can have understanding or illumination. When illumination comes, we have this understanding. We have an encounter with God. And now the Word is illuminated by the Spirit in us. So the Word, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's almost confusing, except to understand the things that appear to us were made from a whole different dimension of things that we don't see. So when we're looking for heavenly revelation or heavenly understanding, we're able to get into a realm of the Spirit that we're actually able to hear the voice of God, or hear the heavenly activity that's going on. Now, the revelation comes in various ways. It comes by seeing, it comes by hearing, it comes by movement that takes place in this world from the heavenly realm. The disciples are asking Jesus, they're saying, Lord, teach us how to pray as John has taught his disciples how to pray. And this is what he says. This is the prayer that you need to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is what I want you to focus on. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our prayer needs to be every day of our life, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Jesus, when he's speaking many times, you'll find him talking about casting out devils, and he says this. He says, if I cast out devils, then the kingdom has come. There's an appearance of the kingdom that now comes, and someone had revelation of the Word that now drives out spirits, evil spirits, and that revelation now becomes understanding, and they're free. And then there's a rejoicing. The man at the gate called Beautiful, he's asking alms every day, and Peter and John come by, and they say to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee." And then he takes him by the right hand and lifts him up. And the word says, and he went jumping and leaping and praising God. So the revelation came when they gave him what they had. The understanding or the illumination came was when the manifestation of that word became life to him, and he went jumping and leaping and praising God. So not only was there understanding, but now he was inspired to jump and leap, do something that he couldn't do before. You know, let's think of it this way. If we entered into a contest and we've been waiting to hear the results of this contest, and all of a sudden you get a phone call and you answer the phone, and before you answer that phone, you're dealing with your bills, you're dealing with all of the troubles of life of what you have. And all of a sudden the person on the other end of the phone says, "You are now the winner of $10 million. What is going to be your reaction? Revelation just came to you, but it's going to require an action. I don't know about you, but I would be jumping, leaping, running around. I would be shouting. I'd be screaming, "Bev, come in here. We just won $10 million. All of our woes have just been answered by a phone call, and I have the revelation of this." Then all of a sudden, reality comes in. And reality says that you're going to have to give a portion of that to the IRS. It's going to take it, your bills, and all of a sudden now that $10 million is now dwindling down, and you're having to give up X amount of dollars to the IRS, X amount of dollars to the state, and you're left with not as much as what the revelation was, and now you're dealing with reality. The fact is, you just won $10 million. And it's just now answered all of your problems that you were sitting at the table sweating over. How am I going to pay this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get a car? How am I going to get a house? You know, revelation came. Reality fights against the revelation. Revelation comes, and when it comes, understanding. When you go down to that place and they hand you that check and you see it in a cashier check form, and you go to your bank and you deposit it, and now you see that $10 million in your account on your register, understanding just hit you. You know what? I have in my hands what I was told. Revelation of the Word of God comes in our life in similar forms. It requires an action. An action that now moves us into doing something that possibly we have never done before. He reveals to us in various ways. Revelation is the unfolding. Revelation is the unfolding of a mystery. The Bible tells us that there is a mystery that's in the Scripture. So when that mystery is unfolded to us, then we understand that word, and we can rely upon that word to be truth to us. You know, many people don't know who Christ is, but the moment that they hear the word and they receive him and they take action on that word, something changes in their heart, in their soul, and they have become a new person, a new creature, in Christ Jesus. When Samuel was a boy, in the Bible it says that there was no open revelation or there was no open heaven. Why? Because there was sin in the temple. And because Eli was not taking care of matters with his sons, this sin caused the heavens to close. Mm-hmm. And there was no open heaven. There was no voice that Eli was hearing. And the word says that he became very obese and his eyes became very dim. Now, it's talking about a natural function. His eyes were growing dim. But it's also referring to him spiritually, that he was obese. He became lazy in his ways, and he was blinded to any new revelation. So there was no new revelation. There was no open heaven that was speaking into the temple. And people were dying spiritually because there was no open heaven. And right. There was no new revelation, no preceding revelation. Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder if in our life today that we're finding ourselves in the same position in the church in America, that there's sin in the temple, and as a result of sin in the temple, there's no new revelation or no preceding revelation that brings us into our future, that shows us what God is saying in the heavenly realms. Now, I want to go to Luke, and I'm almost finished with what I'm going to talk about here. I want to look here at Luke chapter 5, if I can find it real quick. And I want to look at verses 3 through 8. Luke chapter 5, verses 3 through 8. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Now, the stages here, Jesus now is speaking a word. He's in the boat. He borrowed his boat. He's teaching. And now he comes with a revelation to Simon. He says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering and said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night." Now, their fishing must have been a lot better at night than it was in the daytime. So they have worked this thing all night long, and he says, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. When he responded to the revelation, even though in the natural they had been working all night long. Now, these were professional fishermen, and they knew where the fish were, and they knew that nighttime was going to be the best intake for them for fish. And it said they worked all night long, and they caught nothing. Jesus comes, and he says, "Let me borrow your boat for a minute." He begins to speak a word to the people that were gathered, and now he has a return to Simon for allowing him to use his boat. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting how when you give, that revelation is going to come. So Simon gave his boat and loaned it to Christ to teach the people on the shoreline. And now Jesus is giving him a word out of appreciation and said, "Look, launch out into the deep and set your nets down for a big catch." And Simon responds to him and says, "Look, we've been fishing all our life. We know. And last night we didn't catch anything." And Jesus, but he says, "But at your word." In other words, Simon had a revelation that came to him in the form of word. And when he responded to that word, he brought in a great multitude of fish to the point that he had to call his partners to come in to catch all the fish that they had. Revelation requires a response. When we begin to read the Word of God, there should be revelation coming off of the pages to us.
Yeah.
And when revelation comes to us, there is a demand for a response. Yeah. When you begin to respond, then understanding comes. So here they go. They launch out, and they drop their nets, and all of a sudden, they've got so much in their nets that they begin to break. Now, understanding of that word has now come to Simon Peter. Wow. What is it that we need in our life? more than anything, we need revelation. Mm-hmm. When revelation comes, it's going to bring understanding when we respond to that word.
Amen.
When we respond and understanding comes, then there's an inspiration that comes that's going to cause you to start jumping, leaping, and praising God. But I want you to see this here in verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. And they beckoned unto the partners, which were with other ships, and they, let me slow down just a minute, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, look at this. Look what Revelation does.
Yeah.
Revelation, when Simon Peter saw it, mm-hmm. he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Mm-hmm. Now look at this. Sin loses its status. It loses its power when revelation is revealed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us to dig into the word, praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And when that revelation comes, the status of sin is now arrested and it loses its power over you. Mm-hmm. So when the disciples are dealing with the child that's demon-possessed, the father brings and says, "Hey, please help me." And the disciples begin to try to cast this devil out. They can't cast the devil out. And they come to Jesus, and they say, and the man says to Jesus, if you can't do anything, just have compassion on us. In other words, please understand where we are. This is not what we want. This is not how we want to live. Have compassion on us. And Jesus responds, asks him a question, and says, "How long has he been this way?" And he says, "Since a child, since birth." And then Jesus cast the devils out. When revelation comes, the kingdom now comes into our life. Now it comes to us, it comes upon us, and it comes in us. There's three different stages of the kingdom appearance. So the kingdom now has come to this man and this boy and sets him free. The kingdom of God now has come by revelation to Simon, and Simon now looks at his sinful nature and looks at the word that just came out, and he now falls to his knees and says, "I'm a sinful man." He just had an encounter with the kingdom of God, and it now reveals in him what he was, and he begins to repent. Revelation, let me say it this way, the goodness of God revealed to us will cause us to receive him as our Savior and our Lord. Now, I could go on, and I'll probably go on a little bit further with this at another time and begin to deal with the three areas of the kingdom coming to us. Sunday in our church in New Orleans, Josh and Bethany were preaching, ministering. People were ministered to by the word that was coming out. But then Bethany says, "You know what we're going to do is, anybody who wants to stay around, everybody else can be dismissed, but if you want to stay around, we're going to prophesy to everybody in here that wants a word." And they began to prophesy some pretty significant words that came out to the place of times, events that were taking place in people's lives. I've heard the reports. I've heard that when one young man heard the word of the Lord, it came to him, and something was said to him about an event that took place in January, his mouth dropped. What happened was revelation hit him right in the face. The kingdom was at hand. The kingdom of God was at hand and caused the change to take place within him, because no one else knew what was going on except God himself, and God began to speak in that moment. Now let's look at this. Jesus comes into the world. The word now becomes flesh. When the word becomes flesh, it gives an avenue for God to begin to speak through. So the people, otherwise, if the word would have never become flesh, they would have never been able to touch him. But he became flesh so that man could touch him. Now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you and I. He's our chief intercessor. He's our high priest. But for the word to become revelation to people, the word has to work through other flesh, other people. And this is what happened in the service, that God began to work through Josh and through Bethany, and they began to prophesy. Our son was speaking in Houston this past week, and through words of knowledge and through words of wisdom, he began to minister, began to prophesy to people, and people were healed in that moment. And people come up after and said, hey, man, I didn't know what was going to happen because a guest speaker and our pastor wasn't here, and we didn't know what to expect. But man, and another man that was with this man that he brought as a visitor turned his life over to Christ because of the spoken word, the revelation that came forth, that the kingdom of God came into that place. Now, I set this thing up for us to talk about this a little bit, okay? So if you would, tell a little bit of what happened. Don't say any names of people. You can describe some of the stuff, but tell what y'all experienced, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So Sunday, I'm going to tell you, it was against all odds to get to church that day. We left, and there were three wrecks on the interstate, on the bridge. So, you know, we're stuck on the bridge. We've got Waze on. I saw two wreckers come by, then a third wrecker come by.
So they're coming from our church in Gonzales, going over the spillway to get to New Orleans to minister.
Yeah, and so it was, we put Waze on. It's like, we're getting there. At first it was 12:15. I'm like, okay, but we can work that. That's enough time. We can speak for 10 minutes and then pray for people. We could do that. And then it was 12:45, 12:55. And so we started praying and praying, and I said, God, you are the King. I said, I asked, Lord, that you would open up these highways, amen. And we just started to declare the goodness of God. I had worship going on, and Beth and I just started praying tongues. And I said, Lord, you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. So we just started to just get into intercession, and literally, it didn't look like we were going anywhere. Then all of a sudden, after about 10 minutes, 15 minutes of prayer, the roads opened up, and we were, you know, like I said, Waze had us getting there for 12:55. We showed up at the parking lot at 12:05. So it was not that bad. I mean, it was literally, I mean, we made up 50 minutes. And so we were able to get there. And so they were just wrapping up. So I started to speak first, and then Beth came, and then at the end she started to say, you know, felt moved. Hey, and I came up there with her to end service, and she said, we're gonna pray and prophesy over people. I said, okay. And so I guess we had about six come at first, and then as we started to pray for people, more started to come up, because I think they were hearing the accuracy of the word. It wasn't just, you know, I need to get prayed for, but they were like, wait, this is different. And it was very interesting, because I, a lot of times God give me a word and I look at someone and I know I have something to say to the person down the line. But Sunday wasn't like that at all for me. I literally didn't know what to say until we swapped the mic and I started to pray. And literally it was like the woman with the jars. As long as there was a vessel there, it would just come. And so if more people would come, I believe it would have just kept going going. And so one lady, you know, we walked over, and I'm looking at her, I'm like, and Bethany's praying for her, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say to her. And all of a sudden, I heard this song in my head, late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn around. And as soon as I hear this going off in my head, my wife just turns to her, and she starts singing that exact thing. So these were the types of things that were going on at the altar Sunday. And one young lady I started praying for, and God just opened up. I could start to see into her later teen years, and I started saying, you got God's called you to be talented, you're strong, but you are an influencer in this city. And I just see the level of influence. And I said, sometimes we go through things, but you're called to be a mother to your generation. And the guy's taking me back right there. You're called to be a mother to your generation. And when you're called to be a mother or a father of your generation, sometimes you got to go through some hard stuff. You can't just do what your peers do. And so I started to minister to this young lady about that. And so I don't know. It was just cool. And next thing I know, you know, it was like 1:45, you know, somewhere
so
almost 2 o'clock.
We left at 2. And people didn't
want to
leave.
And,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that people, you know, we concluded the service with all the craziness of trying to get there from this campus to New Orleans campus. You know, we get in there at 12:05, which was a miracle, and we might have been booking it. I don't know. And, you know, we get there, and then so Josh and I, you know,
we
we're tag teaming.
We
oh, yeah, yeah. We had worship.
It
was holy.
Okay.
It was holy booking it, all right?
That's
it was,
okay.
Yeah.
It makes it work.
And, so we get there, and then, you know, we're preaching. We do tag team. You know, we did really good on time. I was proud of ourselves. And so at, you know, 12:55, we concluded, say, hey, you know, everybody can. If you want to leave, you are dismissed, da-da-da-da. But people didn't leave till, I mean, it was 2 o'clock when we left. They're hungry for a word.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it was just one of those times you wish every service was like that. It's just like the zone was there.
Uh-huh.
The people were hungry.
Uh-huh.
And as long as there was desire, God was feeling.
Yes.
And that's what Sunday in New Orleans was like.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I remember a time when I was in Florida. A friend of mine had me come and speak, and was in a gymnasium, and the altars were packed from one side. It was one side to the other. The podium was like at half court, and I began to start at one end. I started prophesying to people, and a lot of them couldn't speak English, so I had to have an interpreter to speak, there was a lady that came, and I began to speak about some things that happened to her in her younger years. She began to weep, and I'm asking the interpreter what she's saying. And well, anyway, I finished and went to her next. And next thing I know, it was a good 30 minutes before I got to the other end. And she came and had her family. She went home and got her family and said, come, this guy told me everything that happened to me. And then we began to prophesy to them. And it's one of those moments. I had a plane that I had scheduled so I could get back home because the kids had a ball game and I wanted to be at the ball game. And it was a moment where you just, in that moment, it was flowing, you know.
Yeah.
And those moments are when the kingdom of God is at hand. It's come to us. We begin to feel it. We begin to move that. And in those moments is when people need to move. They need to go to action. They need to respond to the word that's coming out. How you respond determines what you receive. And how you respond, it will determine how far you go with that word that comes to you.
Yeah.
So there has to be a response. There's a demand for response. And in praise and worship, there has to be a response to the revelation of that song.
Sure. Yeah.
And when there's a response to it, then that revelation, you become aware of it and the understanding. And then there's an illumination that takes place where that people begin to rejoice, people begin to weep, there's a move that takes place. You know, I'm convinced that when there's anointed music, when there's anointed singing, and people respond to that, the Holy Spirit begins to move in, and the kingdom is at hand, and anything can happen when you're in that presence.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to share that with the people, what y'all encountered. I think it was awesome, and it was great. So whatever y'all want to share tonight.
I was just going to say, you know, that just this is anybody and everybody can here in the spirit, you know, and it's not just, which I know that's what we're challenging the people with. We're in a fast and hearing, you know, in the spirit. And, you know, one thing that's really cool is that, you know, we see in part, hear in part. And so that means that I'm not going to have the full picture, somebody else may have another piece. And and so it was really interesting as Josh was beginning to prophesy, call out one gentleman in the sanctuary, you know, in the back. And, you know, the Holy Spirit already told me this individual was going to be there at 6 a.m. that morning. I knew he was going to be there. So when I went in, I wasn't really shocked to see him because I knew he was going to be there.
And he probably hasn't been there.
He hasn't been there in about a year.
Maybe a year.
Maybe something like that. Yeah. And Josh began to prophesy to him and began to talk about all kinds of things, just like reading his mail. And then it was like as he was doing that, then, you know, Holy Spirit began to talk to me about it. And I'm saying that because God wants to use each of us like that. And each and every one of us in the same way that we can hear and see in the spirit realm, because what, you know, the gift of prophecy, it encourages and it uplifts. In 1 Corinthians 14:31, it says, for all can prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So what does that do? Is it edifies the church. You know, another translation says edifies. It means to encourage, to uplift. And so, and it's for believers to uplift. And so it's important for us to, as believers, to hear in that realm so that we can edify the church.
Yeah.
That's good.
So for tonight, well, I'll go back to Sunday. You know, we don't really, our son needs a lot of attention, so we don't have the time to sit down and really compare notes when we're speaking. It's more like just in the passing, like I give you the title, you give me the title,
right?
And this is what's happening. But Sunday, even though we preached on two different sets of scripture, our words were very much in line because I preached on praise and fruitfulness, and she preached on having one night with praise and really the twins coming forth and birth. But I told her, I said, you know what? Birthing is the fruit of the womb, and it's part of fruitfulness. And so even though we were on totally different stories, the theme was parallel. So I just really believe, you know, that God interwove that. And tonight is kind of a continuation of kind of what I spoke about. I'll say this. So in this fast, one of the things I have determined to do is I'm not watching any news. The news is off 100%.
Yeah.
I am going to detox myself from the world's message. And I am just if on Facebook someone posts something, obviously I see it, but I'm not going to news websites. I'm
not
turning the news. I'm not searching at all, you know. So there's just micro pieces that I'll see. And so that's one of the things I'm doing. And I'll just say this. I feel like we have been in a heavyweight fight.
Yeah.
It has been a heavyweight fight this year, but I believe we're entering round 12. And I told the people that there is going to be a time in the very near future when our praise and our fruitfulness are going to work together.
Amen.
And so what I feel is, and then this is in line with that, you know, just from a prophetic standpoint, we are about to see some major breakthroughs. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and I don't want people to say, but Josh said we're getting some major breakthroughs. Listen, major breakthroughs coming, but the enemy still has a few more blows he's going to try to throw. I'm just going to be real. Yeah. Don't be surprised if some things pop up in your life, some things pop up. Listen, it's okay. We have, as a church, I'm going to talk like a boxer, we have absorbed the punches. Come on. And we have not fallen. And the enemy is punching and punching, but we are about to counterpunch. Amen. And I believe that's what's going to happen.
Amen.
And that's why I said that we're going to have fruitfulness in our praise. And she talked about being with praise and a double blessing come forth. And so God, you know, and really in Amos chapter 9 tonight, in verse 11, I'll start, but the key verse I'm going to focus on is 13. He said, in that day I will restore the fallen house of David. I believe that we're about to see the restoring. Even Sunday, my message was along this, the fallen line, the house of David. Look, we are in the kingdom of God. You are the lineage of David. That means the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Right.
God is about to restore its authority. Come on. Its purity, its holiness, and come on, its dignity. It is time for the church to have dignity again.
Yes,
come on, we have been walking
so
around like defeated foes. And it is time for us to have our dignity again. It says, I will repair its damaged walls, and for the ruins I will rebuild it and restore its former glory. and Israel will possess what is left of Eden. I talked about Eden Sunday. Eden means red. It's the descendants of the Edomites, which are the descendants of Esau, which gave up their birthright, and Jacob got it all. Amen? And we are going to possess what is left of that. And he says, and I have called the nations to be mine. The Lord has spoken, and he will do these things. And in verse 13, which is the key verse, he said, the time will come, says the Lord. And now the King James says, when the reaper overtakes the plowman. But the I'm reading from the New Living Translation tonight because it makes a little bit more sense. It's easier to understand. He said, the time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they could be harvested. I believe that we're about to start to see fruit. Yes. Wow. We're going to see increase. And it is going to be at such a level that we're not even going to be able to pick it. And new fruit's popping up. And new grain is popping up. And provision is coming forth. And miracles are coming forth. And signs and wonders are coming forth. And it's going to be faster than the hands can work. Because the God is about the fruitfulness and the kingdom. And there's a field right for a harvest. And there are people that are hurt and lost. And when they start to see a power of God and they start to see a move of God, they start to feel the presence of God, they're going to come out of that situation. And just like you talked about, that was so powerful that, you know, that revelation pulls us out of sin. You know, revelation pulled Matthew out of being a tax collector. Come on. Right. Revelation will pull you from that place you're in, whatever it is, and it will cause you to say, come. Jesus will say, come and follow me. And so I believe that we're in that place that, you know, that the terrace vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. And he talks about bringing them back and rebuilding their cities.
Yes.
And he says they will eat of the crops and they will drink of the their wine. And he says this. He says, I will firmly plant them there in their own land, and they will never be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God.
Amen. That's good.
We are going to get planted. We are going to have fruit. There's going to be increase. There's going to be provision. There is going to be a harvest.
Yeah.
And we will never be uprooted from that place again.
Yeah, that's right.
And I feel that is the word of God. I feel that there is a shift coming in this month. There is things already shifting for the better, but I believe there's a greater shift. And I'm not saying that the enemy's not going to have a blow or two, that we're not going to be obstacle-free. But I'm telling you, we are about to get the upper hand. It's like this in these, you know, these competitions I used to do, not so much anymore. You know, you got these big, strong guys that go out there. And in the first 5 minutes of the competition, they're near the top. When you get to that 12, 13, 14, 15 minute, they have no endurance. They have worn themselves out. And I'm here to tell you, church, the enemy has about worn himself out. And he has about overplayed his hand. And that's why I said we have been like a boxer and we have absorbed blows.
Yes.
And when we counterpunch, he is going down for the knockout.
Yes,
and God is going to be victorious in his church. I just feel this strongly tonight. The dignity and the honor the prestige is going to be returned
that's
to
awesome.
The Church of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes, yes.
Very
I love
good,
that.
Very good. Awesome word.
Making my notes.
And I think that's it.
That's it. All right.
Well, that's awesome.
For me. Anyway.
Tell you while she's looking at that, I'm going to go back to just a little bit here in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh. The Word has always been there. God's Word has always been there. But it was made flesh and it dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. You know, the Word of God is so powerful, so strong, that whatever you need, you can find it in His Word. I want to... We'll go to Bethany, and I'm going to finish up on this one here tonight.
Okay. I don't know if I should use this one.
All right. So, you know, without Josh and I knowing what we're going to be talking about, because I hadn't even seen him until just church time, but I felt to share about the number 9. I did post about it this week, too, yesterday, and it correlates with what you're sharing about the grain and grapes will grow faster than what we can harvest. And wow. And I believe that, you know, as we're going, we are in the month of September, which is the number 9. And to look at the biblical meaning of that, I think is extremely significant pertaining to 2020. And when we look at the number 9, it means divine completion. It also means finality. Now, in one aspect of this definition, biblical definition, it means, you know, that God is completing what he began, right? So we understand that the number 9 is that God, it's completion, it's divine completion, it's finality. But I really believe that we are moving in this month, that we are moving into divine completion and finality of struggle. And I believe that how beautifully that is with the Holy Spirit speaking tonight about how that the grapes and the things that we are harvesting, that it's going to be so much that we can't contain, how that goes into that the struggle is being completed. And I believe that, you know, because we are in the kingdom of God, that means that the kingdom of this world cannot dictate to us, which means that no matter what's going on in the natural realm, it doesn't dictate to us, because we are people who live by the Spirit of God. We live by the kingdom of God. So how can you say, Bethany, that God is going to bring completion to the struggle? Well, if you are people in a body of believers that live by the kingdom, have the revelation of the kingdom, then you understand that it doesn't matter what it looks like even today. That if God said such a thing, then it shall be done. And I believe and I know that the Holy Spirit, you know, Josh and I have been prophesying and believing in our home, talking to each other about what we sense, that Josh has been saying for a very, you know, for several months now, September, there's going to be a turning point. There's going to be a turning point. And then, you know, God's been speaking to me the same thing as well, that there's going to be a turning point this month, that there's going to be something significant that's going to take place. And I believe that the divine completion of struggle, that it's going to be finality of struggle, that abundance, the grapes, the fruit of what we have planted and sowed early on in this year, we're going to see the fruit of that to be produced in our life this month. That there's going to be some things that are going to be produced, fruit that's going to be produced, that we're going to see that God is turning things around. You know, another thing I wanted to share about is that, you know, we look at 2020, everybody's been prophesying vision. Oh, this is 2020, the year of vision. And everybody else is like, wait. Once we got into the year, we're like, wait, what? Yeah. You know, but it's true. This is the year of vision. But here's the deal: because this is the year of vision, what would be the enemy's strategy to cause us to lose focus? And so we have to remain focused on the vision God has given us, because if we are not determined within ourselves and have the focus of what God has spoken to us in January, in December of 2019, you know, then we are not going to finish strong in this year, you know. And so we've got to understand that the enemy's agenda is to cause us to lose our focus. Therefore, we must regain our vision. And we must regain our vision through revelation, through understanding that abundance is ours, through understanding that during this month we are going to see some struggle, the finality of struggle, things that we have been struggling with for years, battles we have been warring and waging with for years are going to come to completion in our life. And it's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing that we're going to see these things come about. You know, the enemy wants to confine us in this season. You know, there's a lot of people who are dealing with, there's a lot of people, the suicide rate has increased tremendously just in this year alone over the last several months. And a lot of it has to do with being isolated. And it has to do with being alone, because we were created. God created man for community, to commune with him, and to also have community with others, that our passion would be to commune with God. So when you take people who are at a low place, and then you take community away, that maybe they don't understand how to have communion with God, they feel isolated. they feel alone. I know a lot of people, like even for myself last week, I was like, I've been doing really good. We're just staying home and whatnot, but I got to get out of the house. I got to go do something. You know, Bo and I, let's get in the car. Let's just go take a ride. You know, Josh and I both, we work from home. And so I'm like, okay, we got to get out of the house. And I'm homeschooling too, you know. So it's a lot of dynamics. I know a lot of parents are doing that as well. And so you know what I mean. And so I'm just like, I got to get out of the house, you know. And it's like, you know, that the enemy is wanting to make us feel isolated, because if we feel confined and we feel alone, then we buy into that. Let me say, there's a separation living in the spirit. There's a separation that we as believers have to make between what's a feeling of emotion and what's facts. Everything we feel is not facts. Mm-hmm. Everything we feel emotionally, it could be things we're picking up in the spirit realm. And we have to differentiate that and to weigh that out of what is the truth, right? And we weigh that out by what? We weigh that out by the word of God. What does God say about me, my destiny, my family, about being alone? And so in this word that God began to speak to me a few weeks ago about the month of September, about the number 9, about struggle coming to an end, about there's a finality, a completion to the struggle, he also began to say to me in regards to this month that abandonment, the abandonment spirit is broken off of your life. You know, the enemy has come in with so many tactics, so many things in the last several months of being isolated, being confined. And one of the things is to make us feel like we are abandoned, we are alone. And what an opportunity for the enemy to come in. You know, some of us have felt alone, but that demonic spirit, that opposing spirit, is broken in the name of Jesus. And yes, it's broken now, yes, in yes, this season that we're walking in. That's what I really believe, that that's what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me about this month in particular, that abandonment spirit is broken. But we have to accept the freedom of that. You know, until it comes revelation, it's not activated. So we can have a prophetic word that's released in the house, in corporate, or you know, or in the word of God to read his promises. But until that becomes revelation, then there will be no change. Mm-hmm. No change will take place. Yeah. Until we have an understanding, until we believe it. You know, I was in my devotionals today. One of the I can't remember the author of this particular devotional, but anyway, one of the devotionals I was reading began to say that a lot of us are masters at meditation and don't really know it because we worry. If we worry a lot, then we know how to meditate. But it's what are we meditating on? And I think that, you know, in seasons where the enemy is trying to hit us so hard with abandonment, with isolation, with depression, with all of these different things, we have to make a conscious effort, and it is a work, to shift our meditation from the loneliness, from the depression, from the issues, from the, you know, we're masters at meditation. We know how to meditate. But what are we meditating on? And the word tells us we have to meditate on what he says and on what his promises are for our life. So we have to shift that. You know, I know how to worry really good. You know, all by myself. Like, I don't need help. Like, I'm really good at it, you know. But if I can shift that meditation method from fear into what God says, then it brings me to a place of deliverance and to walk in that freedom. A few more things I want to talk about in the talking about spirit of, it's actually a spirit of abandonment that has tried to rest itself upon the church. And in preparation for tonight, I begin to, you know, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? You know, I wanted to share all this about September, talking about abandonment, and this goes with it, is, you know, abandonment, it is a demonic spirit. It does not come from God. And, you know, John 8:36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you might be free. No, it says that you shall be free. Indeed. You shall be free. Therefore, if the Son, who is the Son? Son is Jesus Christ. If he makes you free, you shall be free. There's no question about it. It says free indeed. So what we have to understand is we need to meditate on this verse. If we're struggling with abandonment and struggling with the next thing I want to talk about is to address a spirit of rejection. Because anytime you see a spirit of abandonment, What comes next is a spirit of rejection. They are twins. They work together. Then once you accept the spirit of abandonment, then it's easy to accept the spirit of rejection. And so when you agree with that spirit, you know, when I come into agreement with anything, we could come into agreement with anything. We could come into agreement with fear, as I was making reference to. We could come into agreement with worry, fear, anxiety. We come into agreement with that. Okay, we should not, as believers, we need to refuse that. And it's so easy for us, because of being human, it's easy for us to gravitate to whatever's negative. And so I can't remember the statistics, maybe y'all do, but it's like for every negative word, you have to say a blank amount of times a positive word to cancel out just one negative. I can't remember what that is. I'm sure somebody out here knows, but it's multiple positive words to combat one negative word. And so it's human nature. It's just within us. We were born into sin. So it's our sinful nature to gravitate to negative media, to negative posts, to negative diagnosis, to negative thoughts. And that's why Paul says to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And when it becomes a revelation, when you understand it, when you begin to walk in it, it becomes easier and easier to do and to exercise that in your life. But you got to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere to begin to work on that. And, you know, I want to say a statistic. Counselor tells us that one out of every five people in America today have a serious problem with rejection. One out of five people in America. And it says, and one out of every three people in today's youth culture deal with serious rejection issues. So we are in a culture and in a nation where it's the norm to carry rejection, okay? And so Ephesians 1:6 says, wherein Christ has made us accepted in the beloved, meaning that when we are in Christ, we are in Christ, we are his beloved. We are his beloved so that we are accepted. So the enemy, if we are accepted, the enemy doesn't want us to be accepted, so he's going to bring in abandonment. He's going to bring in rejection. And these things are huge enemies to our faith and to actually even hearing in the spirit realm and to hearing and flowing the gifts of God. Unresolved rejection can turn the best of us from a disciple to a betrayer. Unresolved rejection, and this is from Jeannie Mayo. She's phenomenal. Unresolved rejection can turn the best of us from a disciple to a betrayer. You know, we forget who we are. If we don't know who we are in Christ, if we feel like we're abandoned, we don't understand that we're accepted, it causes all kinds of issues. Feelings of rejection and failure make a lot of us come across very defensive. We have a lot of people that, you know, they respond very defensive to you, and it's just a second nature to them. The root of a defensive attitude is what? Is rejection. That there was some wound somewhere in their life that has caused them to make them feel like they don't want to get hurt. I don't want to be rejected again, so let me go ahead and be defensive so you can't hurt me. And that's the root of that. There is healing that the Holy Spirit could come and bring healing to those areas of abandonment and rejection. You know, so possible roots of rejection where the enemy tries to come in. It could be from our parents, you know, the home that we brought in. Maybe, you know, we come from a broken home. Maybe we didn't come from a broken home, but maybe there was chaos in the home. And somehow, or words from a parent that were spoken over us that should have never been said. And as a child, that those words that you can never get out of your head, and it was rejection that was instilled into your heart as a child. It could be school. It could be your job that could bring, roots of rejection where the enemy could come in. It could also be our background. It could be relationships. It could be that big mistake we made, right? And that can be roots of rejection when Christ says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And on top of that, that we are accepted by him. So we disarm the enemy's tactics of abandonment and rejection through his word and meditating on the promises of his word and understanding that we are not rejected, but we are accepted. So we cannot agree with the spirit of abandonment because you know, we have to understand that when we feel isolated, we feel alone. And I know a lot of people have been feeling that. In a lot of instances, a lot of situations that have been posed to us this year, that a lot of us feel misunderstood. A lot of us feel feel like that we, you know, people don't hear our heart, that people are not understanding where we're coming from, and so even in that, then we feel rejected, and we feel, you know, and so that is a route that the enemy continues to use and to play and to prey, P-R-E-Y, on us to cause us to not go forward with the vision in 2020, and to cause us to lose the vision that God has given us. And, you know, I think that was pretty much it. Oh, refocus. That's what I was going to say. There's another thing God told me is a refocus is that this month is the turning point. Excuse me, the turning point is now, that this is the turning point for this month, is that we're going to be shifting and turning into a different level of breakthrough, a different level of abundance in our life, a different level of increase. But we need to disarm these spirits that have had a specific agenda in the season, which are spirit of abandonment and a spirit of rejection. And we do that through revelation of his word and understanding it, applying it, meditating, not on meditating on worry, right, but meditating on God's word.
You know, I copied this down the other day. It was either yesterday or today where I saw this, and this is a post for someone, and it's dealing with the area of feelings. And this is an excerpt from it, and I won't say his name. Some people may like him, some people know. He's a prophet anyway. And he says this, and I believe this is very true. He said, "I believe one of the greatest high places in the American church is our feelings." Yeah. "Because it is easy for many to say, if it doesn't feel good, then it must not be God."
Yeah.
"Emotionalism and how it makes me feel in the moment has become the baseline for the truth of these days." Now, I'm going to go back, and you were talking about, we were talking about what's coming forward, and you said, "I may not feel that way." I'm going to tell you, since I personally separated myself from all news outlets, I feel wonderful. Like, I don't even feel like there's any problems going on, and at night, we have worship on. Come on, we're watching, you know, other church services stuff and worship on, and I'm reading the Word, and in my office, my computer's on all day with worship, and I'm trying to soak as much as in the Lord's presence. And what I'm saying is the emotionalism where, you know, 2 weeks ago, and, you know, I'm watching news, and all this is going on, and people are disturbed internally, all that has dissipated from my life, and I'm just at a place of peace, and I'm like, this is wonderful, you know. We got food on the table. I go to work every day, you know what I mean. My family's healthy, you know what I mean. God's still here. He moves Sunday. He's speaking to us now about the future. Life is not that bad.
I told my mother today. I said, I don't have to watch the news. All I got to do is say, "Josh, what's going on in the world today?" Josh is going to tell me the update on COVID. Josh is going to tell me about the tropical depressions in the Gulf. He's going to tell, he got it down. He knows. My mother-in-law, when she was still here with us, she would be the one. She'd call me because she knew I didn't focus on the news. And for years. I mean, we've been married 39 and a half years. And she would call us, and she'd call me. She'd say, "Bev, did you know there's a hurricane out there?" I'm like, "No, I had no idea." "Yep, you better do this and this and this. And by the way, this is on sale at this grocery, and that's on sale at that grocery, and that's on sale. Go get all those things and get ready, because we got to, you know, evacuate and get out of here, because storm's coming." So anyway, I don't know what I'm going to do till the fast is over. I won't know what's going on in
the world. Somebody volunteer. We need a volunteer. I may never go back.
But I'm glad you're experiencing the peace. And wow, what an interesting thing, especially in a season like we're in today, for you to fast from all of that. That's amazing. And in many regards, a sacrifice, because there is so much uncertainty in our human nature, is we want to know And one of the two of you said, I think Bethany, I don't know, said, you know, and then of course our nature was to gravitate to the negative. You know, that's just human nature. Since Adam and Eve, that's human nature, to gravitate to the negative. And so anyway, at the onset of the broadcast, my husband said, you may say, well, what should I fast? Well, there's a myriad of things you can fast. It doesn't have to be food. It can be a myriad of different things. But the key is, it's not just to sacrifice something, but it's to take additional time in getting in Christ's presence, right, and getting to know him. I just want to say this, and Bethany was hitting on this, and I appreciated what everybody's had to say this evening, and talking about, I know a lot of her focus was on abandonment and rejection, you know. She doesn't know this, but I told my husband about 1 o'clock this morning, I said, I feel like a sense of abandonment is trying to come on us. And so we have felt the warfare of that. And, you know, the Lord identified that to me, that that is what the enemy was trying to bring my way, to make me feel these feelings of abandonment. But Bethany hit on something that's so important that I think a lot of times believers don't realize. And I know that there's so much we all want to share when we're on these broadcasts, and we try to keep it within a decent time frame so we don't go there. But I just want to come back to this. When you begin to engage in a walk in the Spirit, your senses are going to be intensified. God speaks to us through our senses. He speaks to us through touch, through feeling, sometimes through smelling. There have been times we've been in meetings, multiple occasions, that my husband, that he would smell demonic spirits that were in the place. I remember one time we were in a meeting, and it was in Metairie, and we were sitting in the service, and we really couldn't see everyone that was in the crowd, the way the building was shaped and the way the seating was arranged. And he turned to me, and he said, so-and-so is here. I said, they're in Florida. I just talked to them. They're not. He said, they are here. And I said, babe, I just don't think so. And I'm looking around. He said, they are here because I smell the spirit that they carry. And we've had incidents like that happen many times in our life. I've only had that happen to me once. It's kind of disgusting. I really don't want that gift of the Spirit, to smell in the realms of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us through our senses.
Yes.
But at the same time, the enemy comes in to bring confusion as well,
yeah,
through our senses.
That's right.
This is why, to build a relationship, he and I have an amazing marriage, but it didn't just happen. We worked at that. And so spending time together, hear what I'm saying, spending time in the presence of the Lord is how you're going to sharpen your spiritual man, so that you will understand the ways that God is revealing to you. Garland began speaking tonight talking about revelation. You got to have revelation to have illumination. You've got to act upon it. It requires a response, he said. It requires an action when you have this revelation take place in your life. And so when the Holy Spirit begins to reveal things to us, we need to be so close to him and have spent time to him that we know, hey, that's the Holy Spirit talking to me, telling me that my child doesn't need to go here today. I know somebody invited them over, but they don't need to go into that home today because something that's not exactly right is going on in that home. The Holy Spirit will show you that. The Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you and lead you as you tune in to the Holy Spirit. And I just use that as an example. It could be about anything, but also, I just want to reiterate this point. There are times when you may feel like, oh man, I feel so overwhelmed and weighted down. Man, I feel discouraged today. I don't know what's going on. I wonder if something's wrong with me. I know you've done that. Man, what's the matter with me? Why do I feel so overwhelmed all of a sudden? Why do I feel like this feeling of depression coming on me all of a sudden? And within a few minutes, somebody will call you or reach out to you, or you'll walk into a place of business and you'll see somebody and you'll realize, ah, the Holy Spirit was trying to prepare me. It's not about me. I'm feeling that person's pain because I asked the Holy Spirit to allow me to be a conduit through which he could flow. I asked him to sharpen my senses. I asked him to sharpen my gifting, and he'll begin to do that. So many times when you start to feel discouraged or even sometimes ill, it's not about you. It's about God showing you, oh, there's somebody you need to be praying for that's dealing with suffering with an intense headache, an intense migraine. And there are times, and so as you get in your walk with the Spirit, it is the most amazing life you could ever experience, and it's never boring. And you tune into the Spirit, and you ask God to reveal himself to you and to speak to you, you will pick up some of these things. And I know that we've had to deal with people before. We've had to sit and tell them, you know, sometimes that the depression, you're feeling depression, and you're like, what's the matter with me? I feel so depressed, and it's not even about you. It's that you're feeling the weight of somebody that you're about to come in contact with, somebody you need to be praying for who's battling suicide, who's totally hopeless. See, we know that as we experience a life in the Spirit. Get lost in the Spirit. Ask God to give you revelation and illumination, the understanding, and then to show you the actions you need to take.
You know, I think there's truth that comes to the mind and truth that comes into the soul. Now, or in the Spirit. Emotion has high levels of feelings in it. Mm. And many times in our life when we hear things in the Spirit, because the Spirit and the soul are so close together, mm-hmm. you will feel the emotions of what you just heard in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
And you can have high levels of feelings as a result of knowing something in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so people misequate some things of what's in the soul and what's in the Spirit. The word says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, separating and dividing between the soul and the spirit as like the bone and the marrow.
Mm-hmm.
So the soul and the spirit are so close together that if you just look at it, you can't tell the difference. It takes the word to separate it.
Mm-hmm.
As a sharp scalpel of a physician to be able to separate that, the word of God separates the soul and the spirit so that you can know whether you're operating out of emotion or operating out of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
whether you're hearing from an emotional sense or you're hearing from the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we distinguish between the two, is based upon the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Bev started talking about this person that we were talking about coming in the service, and I said, they're here. I smell the Spirit. And it wasn't about a few minutes till they came walking in the door. They were not in the building,
Mm-mm.
but the Spirit was already there. And I could smell that foul spirit, and then they came walking in the door.
Mm-hmm.
We've had quite a few experiences mm-hmm. along those lines. Well, this has been very good. I want to finish with something real quick, just to kind of close with some more scriptures backing up what we're talking about here. In Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to go and look at this later. It says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So in other words, the word has come, and as a result of the word coming, we have heavenly blessings in our life. Now I want to go down to verse 17, and this is the prayers of Paul here that he's praying. Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." Two different things. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, I want to go to Matthew now, Matthew chapter 3, and I want to read verse 15 to you. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all the righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. The heavens were opened unto him. In other words, the kingdom has come now. The heavens were opened up to him. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. So it comes to us, it comes on us, and then it comes in us, okay? So the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, the story is when Jesus comes to the Jordan and John the Baptist is baptizing. And he says, John the Baptist says, "Lo," in other words, pay attention here, the one that will deliver the world from sin is coming. You know, he's introducing the entrance to Christ. Now here is this. Revelation now begins to show something that no one else knows. Jesus has come. He's come to the banks of the Jordan, and now he's asking for revelation. John is the one that has the revelation. He's asking revelation to baptize him. And when you're baptized in the revelation and you come out, the heavens open, the Spirit descends upon you, and then there is a pleasure that happens in heaven. And said, and begins to pronounce, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." So there's three things that happened. The kingdom of God came in appearance, it came upon him, and then the validation of him comes in him, and now he goes into the world and demonstrates the power of God as he is now flesh. The Word became flesh. Had went through the motions of the flesh, was baptized, and now begins to go into the earth. And if that would not have happened, the woman with the issue of blood that said, "If I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole," she would have never been able to touch Jesus if he would have not become flesh. Now, I think it's pretty interesting, and there's a lot in there that that we can extract and begin to pull and let God work in us. I hope you enjoyed everything tonight. I hope that that you've received something that maybe opens your heart to see differently in the Word of God tonight. This is like studying a new language. Because there are hidden things in here that we have to uncover. Mm-hmm. And then we have to take a little bit of the time to get to that revelation mm-hmm. to uncover it. But when we uncover it, there should be a celebration and there should be movement on our behalf. And then the understanding comes and then the celebration comes again. So when revelation comes, celebrate the revelation. Then move towards it. When you get the understanding, then celebrate the understanding. There's things that I have learned in the Scripture that if I would have never celebrated when it became revelation and shouted and said, "Man, look at this, I've never seen this before." And then as I begin to rehearse this and the Holy Spirit began to give interpretation of that to me, then I celebrate it again of what I have because now nothing can take it away from me. The Word of God wants to get so inside of you that it becomes not head knowledge, but heart understanding. Revelation comes to the heart. We can be moved by emotions, but let's be moved by the Spirit. When you're moved by the Spirit, you can distinguish what Spirit and what is soul or soulish based upon the Word of God. The Word of God separates what's spirit and what's soulish. Many people operate in a soulish realm. We want to operate in the realms of the Spirit.
Amen.
So as you begin to pray this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Amen.
We need encounters with the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I trust that this word tonight has challenged your heart and has caused something to leap inside of you. You know, when John the Baptist was in his mother's womb and Jesus was in his mother's womb, and those two came together, there was something that leaped. And it was John the Baptist that leaped in his mother's womb when he came in the presence of the Word of God. I think that something should leap in every one of us when we come into the presence of his Word, that revelation comes upon us and we encounter the kingdom of God. Listen, we love you. I want you to, if you will, to write in. Let us know if there's some topics that you would like for us to cover. And if you have a prayer request, while we're in this 21 days of fasting and prayer, write us your prayer request so we can begin to pray over it as we're praying. I know there's a lot of things that are happening in this world that, and I'm not talking about the negative, but it's moving people to have to make decisions that's causing grief to come upon their souls. And when grief comes, it's hard for us to make clear decisions if we allow our emotions to be attached to it. So we want to walk in the Spirit so we can make the right decisions in the direction that we're going in life. Anybody else have anything you want to say? I think this is good. Give us a high five on the Facebook, if you will. Give us a shout, maybe some hearts. Let us know we did a good job tonight. And we will see you next time, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll be live. And then in New Orleans, we have our Sunday service there at